so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
The series entitled is The Path, and this morning I want to talk to you about direction determines destination. Direction determines destination. Thank you, musicians. I'm ready to get into it. Direction determines your destination. I believe, and I don't say this very often, but I believe that if you could get this message in your spirit, like God put it in my spirit, it could change the entire course of your life. Not only that, you could realize and recognize why you get to the destination or the place that you do. You know, I said this last week. People, you know, you ever meet people who are overweight? Don't look up here. You ever meet people who are overweight and they go, I don't know how I got here. I know exactly how I got here. I got here because I won't close my pie hole when I ought to close it, because I keep eating and I don't exercise as much to differentiate or to take away the difference. So I want to talk to you about the path principle, and direction determines your destination. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to two different passages in Proverbs. I want to read Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I'm going to preach a little while, and then we're going to talk about Proverbs 7, 6 through 27. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 27. If you're new today, or if you're new here, I use an app called the YouVersion, which is a Bible app. It's free. You can download it. And if you find where the events are, you can do a search of CRCOG events, and you will find the notes that will be up here on the screen today. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, if you're there, say amen. Amen. It begins reading like this: Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your what? Paths. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He will direct your paths, and He will make your paths straight, one translation said. Let me ask you this question. How many are you would say that, yes, that is true, that you are not so good with directions? I remember my wife came to visit me before she was my wife, and all she had to do was follow a straight road to where she was going to stay. And I found her, and she finally called me from the hood. And I said, what are you doing in the hood? You're not supposed to be there. You don't know nothing about the hood. And I had to go find her. All she had to do was stay on one road. But she is directionally challenged. Amen. Don't tell her I said that. I know people who get lost a lot. And I can see that some of you say, yeah, I know somebody, and the person you know is you. That you get lost a lot. But obviously, you're pretty sure that compared to other people, you're certainly better than they are. But one way or another, here's what I wanted to know, is that I try to find the shortest route possible from where I want to go, or from where I am to where I want to go. Now, I use GPS. My wife always asks me, why do you use the GPS when you already know where you're going? I said, because I don't want to begin to get distracted and miss my turn. Oh, somebody hear me. You need the GPS so that you don't get distracted, so that you don't miss your turn. But here's what I've learned, that I always look for the fastest route, and the fastest route might not always be the less miles route. But I want to get there as fast as I can. And most of you know that 3 years ago, or two and a half, almost 3 years ago, I took a sabbatical and I rode my Harley with my brother across the U.S. And when we were on the motorcycle, and let me just say this, when you have a motorcycle, you're never lost as long as you have gas. Amen. You just ride, baby. But when you're trying to get somewhere, I've realized a few things about people that get lost. Number one is this. People who are lost almost never get lost on purpose. People who are lost almost never get lost on purpose. You didn't wake up this morning and go, let me see if I can just get lost. Now, let me tell you, I've done that a few times, but again, I was on my Harley and you never lost. I just take roads. I don't know where they lead. But here's what I've come by to tell you, that all paths, all roads lead to somewhere, even if it's nowhere. And you can't get upset if you wind up in nowhere, but you knew you took the road that leads there. There is a place in North Carolina, I want to say in Garrett, North Carolina, that is called the Road to Nowhere. And you better know that I took that road to see where it went. Guess where it went? Nowhere. But yet I didn't get there and I was surprised. I didn't say, where's the hotel? Where's the motel? Where's the place to eat? There's nothing on that road because it is a road to nowhere. Matter of fact, before I got on the road, I checked my gas to make sure I had enough gas to make it back from nowhere. But the problem is most people don't know that they're lost because they did not get lost on purpose. Maybe it's because we wasn't paying attention. I don't know, but we're not doing it on purpose. Let me give you a second observation, is that you are lost before you know you're lost. It's the same thing that happens with you in your relationship with God. You don't wake up in the morning and go, you know what, I think I'm just going to lose my relationship. I'm not going to have a relationship with God today. I'm just not going to do it. No, it happens before you know you did it. You begin to drift. Can I get a good amen? You are never aware that you are getting lost. It just kind of sort of dawns on you. And you're not, you know, have you ever been serving God and you were on fire and the song was said, there's a fire set inside of your heart. And man, you're on fire for God. But then you look at yourself down a few years or a few weeks or a few months and you're like, what happened to the passion that I had in my life for God? You didn't set out to do that. It just kind of dawns on you. You wake up one morning and it dawns on you that you and your spouse are not as close as you once were. It dawns on you that you're just not as close to your kids as you once were. But you didn't set out to do it. It just kind of happens. In fact, by the time that you realize you're getting lost, you've probably already been lost for a while. Oh my Lord, that's good. Man, that just hit me again. By the time you realize you're lost, more than likely you've been lost for a little while. But then here's number three. You always end up wherever the road you're on takes you. You can't be upset at getting nowhere when you've been on the road that takes you to nowhere. You cannot be upset at the destination when you got on the road and you knew where it led. You see, whatever road and direction you travel on will determine where you end up. You always end up where the road you're on takes you. In other words, point number one is this, that the path determines your destination. Whatever path you find yourself on, it determines where you're going to wind up. It doesn't matter what you intended. It doesn't matter where you intended to end up or where you desired to be. It's pretty much irrelevant. It doesn't matter where you wanted to be. You got on a road that led there. I cannot get on I-75 headed north and expect to end up in the Keys. It's impossible. Why? Because the road just doesn't go there north. I've got to change directions. If you're on the wrong road, you won't make it to your desired destination because the path, you're going to hear me say this 100 times a day, because the path determines your destination. Because as obvious as it might be, when it comes to getting from one place to another, when it comes to the rest of our lives, if everybody gets when I say, if you know where the Keys are, they're south. If you know where the Keys are, you realize you can't get there by going north. You realize that. However, we are not that, we just don't get it in the other arenas of our lives. What do you mean, Pastor? In the destination of your financial lives, of your dating lives, of your professional lives, of your marriage lives, of your raising kids lives, of your walk with God lives. You just put whatever you want in there, because if you're on the wrong road, you're not going to get to the destination that you wanted to go. If you're on the wrong road, you just won't make it to your desired destination, because your path determines your destination. It doesn't matter what your intentions was. It doesn't matter what the direction that you wanted to go. No, if you're on this road, it only goes to where it goes. Good preaching, Pastor. See, in every area of your life, it's your direction, not your intentions. How many have ever said, I didn't intend to do that? I mean, now my age is going to show. How many remember Urkel? Did I do that? Did I do that? Yes, you did. But that's the way we live our lives, and we get to this point in our life, a crisis, and we go, did I do that? Yeah, you're sorry, you did. But now in America, we want to blame everybody for why we are or where we are. No, there was a detail. No, direction determines destination. Listen, church, in every area of your life, it is your direction. It is not your intentions. It is not your hopes. It is not your dreams. It is not your prayer. And it's not even your beliefs. Boy, y'all got quiet right there, huh? My beliefs won't get me there. Your beliefs will point you there, but the road or the path will take you there. And you can't believe that Jesus heals but never get on the path of healing. You can't believe that Jesus saves but you never get on the road of asking him to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. You can believe whatever you want, but if you don't get on the road, then your beliefs do you no good. Good preaching, Pastor. You can have the best intentions and end up in the worst situations. It's so much a part of our life on planet Earth that it trumps every other thing besides God. Because how many knows that God can move it? Listen, church. There's a huge disconnect between the destination people want to ultimately reach in life and the path they've chosen to travel. There's a disconnect. The truth is, we've all dealt with people that we're close to that they are so frustrated over where their life is. Man, I'm just frustrated where I am. Well, how did you wind up here? I don't know. Look back at the route you took. Look back over the road you took. Look back over the choice that you made. Look back over, you chose to do drugs and, you chose to do drugs and that road led you to where you were. You chose to ignore your spouse and that road led you to the place where you are. You chose to just come and play church and placate church and come and do lip service but not heart service, and now you realize where you are. You didn't get there by happenstance. You didn't get there because you clicked your heels together three times. You got there because you got on a road and the road took you there. You got on a path and the path took you to that place. They share with you all their disappointments, that they're nowhere near where they'd hoped to be. And yet, as they're speaking, you can't help but to think to yourself, of course you ended up here. What did you expect? How many's ever said that? Uh-huh. How many said that to the person you're sitting next to? Don't look at them. Just keep your eyes up here. Didn't you realize that no matter how much you wanted a healthy relationship, the road you chose was going to make that nearly impossible? See, we see the contrast between where people hope their path will take them and the actual path they chose to travel down. Now, they become so angry at God because that they're not where they hope to be. And why? Because we think that our intentions, we think that our hopes and that our dreams will win out over the actual decisions we make on a daily basis. My God, if this wasn't a $600 mic, I'd just drop it and walk off the stage right there. We think that our intentions, that our hope and dreams will win out over the actual decisions. You know, if you talk to people who love you, but yet they can look at your path sometimes and say, you're on the wrong path. That's what we do with our children, right? We try to get them on the right path. That's why we don't want them to hang around with the wrong people, because why? They're on the wrong path. We want them to be on the right path, right? So this is this right here, this one slide, if you will get that into your heart and your mind, it'll change your whole life. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 27. And just hold your place there. I'm going to refer to them. Because of time, I'm not going to read all of them, but because I just want to talk about it. Could you get me a towel out of my office, please, sir? Proverbs chapter 6 through 27. Let's talk about point number 2, I believe, Mike, is where I'm at, I think. All right. A story here about a young man who ignored the path principle. See, it's all throughout the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 6, here, this is a story where Solomon is standing at a second-story window looking down at the street below him as a young man happens to be walking along. And as he's walking along, Solomon suddenly has a sense of where the man's journey is taking him and is going to end up. Yet the young man has no idea of what he's about to walk into. And this is what happens in life, right? You may be parked at the intersection, observing opposing cars about to hit each other, but there's nothing you can do about it because you know something the other drivers don't. I remember right out here turning on Highway 19, and I was getting ready to turn left. There was a car. I looked in my right rearview mirror, and there was a car coming. There was a delivery truck that was turning in front of me. I saw it happening almost in slow motion. Thank you. I saw it happening almost in slow motion, recognizing that neither car seen each other coming, but I could see the future. I saw it coming. I saw it happening. They couldn't see it, but I saw it. Can I tell you that God can see it when you can't see it? Godly people counsel around you sometimes can see it when you can't see it. Listen to me. At that moment in time, I was able to know the future when they didn't know it. If you're a parent at one point in time or another, you've seen your kids moving in such a way that you knew that they were going to get hurt. And guess what? They did. You couldn't get to them. You seen them walking toward the edge of the porch. You saw them walking out to the edge of the stage. You saw them walking toward it, but you could not get to them fast enough. You could see it when they couldn't see it or they didn't realize it. And that's what happens with Solomon. As he looks down at the young man, Solomon begins to narrate where the man's path was taking him. In Proverbs chapter 7, here's what it says. While I was at the window, Solomon talking, of my house, looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particularly who lacked common sense. That's the New Living Translation. Here's what I've understood about common sense. It's not so common. The NIV version says he was lacking judgment. And so every path has a destination, and that it's these paths that ultimately determine your destination. Then in verse 8 he says this. And then he says he was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell. See, now obviously you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand the story of where this thing's hidden. He's heading down the path of a woman who's immoral. You can see this coming. Stevie Wonder could see this coming. This young man's headed toward a woman's house as the darkness of night begins to settle in, and he's thinking about what a great time he's about to have. There's Solomon looking down at him from his window, shaking his head. And from the scene, you can see this huge contrast between where the young man thinks he's taken, where the young man thinks what he's about to experience, and what Solomon knows he'll actually experience. Man, if you just listen to me, that's what Solomon's saying. The reason for such contrast is this: because the older, wiser guy knows the principle of the path. The older, wiser guy. Now listen, not everybody who's older is not always wiser. Because some people who are old just keep doing the same stupid stuff. And wonder why they keep winding up at the same stupid destination. Hallelujah. But that's what this guy's doing. The older, wiser man knows that it's a path. And that every path leads somewhere. Every path has a destination. And this particular path has a very predictable destination. Verse number 10. It says, Then the woman came out to meet him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. Craftily, the NIV version says, craftily intent. Verses 13, 14. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. And with a brazen look, she said, I've just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. Of course, that language of peace offerings doesn't mean anything to us today unless you understand it. But she's basically letting him know that she's in fact a spiritual person. Listen, you got to be careful when people talk the language of the church. You got to be careful when they speak the language of the church. Just because they know the language don't mean they live right. Because I know heathens know how to go, hallelujah, glory to God. May the blessing of the Lord be upon thee. No, heathens know how to do that. You better understand that you, if you want a spiritual person, it ain't somebody who just talks the talk, but who walks the walk. She's telling him, here's what she's telling him, that by getting involved with me, she's saying, the young man is connecting with someone who is right before God. How many times, I'm not even going to look around. How many times did you come to the house of God looking for somebody to hook up with, or looking for somebody to have a relationship with, and you say you in right standing, but you know you ain't? And you just came to the house of God to get somebody good instead of going to the club to get a club girl. That's all I'm going to say. Because y'all keep telling my wife on me. In fact, she says, today I have fulfilled my vows. Now, what she's essentially telling him is that I'm free from sin. What she's essentially telling him is that I've taken my bucket of sin to the temple. I presented her offerings for God for forgiveness. And now, baby, I'm ready to fill this bucket up again. That's how some of us live our life. Yeah, here's my bucket of sin. Lord, ask me forgiveness. Lord, bleed the blood of Jesus. All right, I'm ready to fill it up again. That's not God's way. But that's what's happening. She's taking her bucket is empty of sin, and she's ready to start filling it up with him. Verse 15, she comes up with this to this young man and says, you're the one I've been looking for. I came to find you. Now, come on, somebody. Every man in here, that would flatter you. I've been looking for you. I didn't do it. That'd be my first response. I ain't do it. What? I didn't do it. No. I've been looking for you. And here you are. Verse 9, 15. And here you are. Three times she highlights the fact that she's done all this just for him. Even though there were other men out on the street, I came out to meet you. I looked for you. I saw the other men, but I looked for you. And he's thinking, man, I am special. He's thinking, man, I'm all that in a bag of chips. He's thinking, I'm one in a million. But no, baby, that ain't you. You see, he's thinking that she came out looking for me. Verse 16 and 18 says this, I'm paraphrasing. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. Come, let's enjoy ourselves with love. Some of you may be like, blah, I would have never. You have never because you've never had the opportunity. I'm gonna let that sink in a little bit. Nobody wanted your stinky self. He's thinking, are you kidding me, man? Did I die and go to heaven? Verse 19 and 20. Still this woman. For my husband is not home. He's away on a long journey, you get me? He took his wallet filled with money and will not be home till full moon. Verse 21 says, with pervasive words she led him astray and seduced him with her talk. And you don't think words are harmful. You don't think, well, you know, I can flirt and nothing's going to come out of it. Pervasive words caused him to go with her. He's following her thinking, man, I'm Brad Pitt. Walking down the red carpet with Angelina Jolie. No, baby. This is a dream come true. Life is good. But the wise man looked down from the second story window and saw something different. In verse 22, here the writer tells us that the young man followed her at once like an ox to the slaughter. Like a deer stepping into a snare. Waiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. What? No, man, what are you talking about? It's not like that at all. Out of all these guys, she chose me. I'm like a rock star. No, you're like an ox. Taken off to the slaughter. In fact, he goes one step further. He says, not only are you an ox, in case you're a little dense, you're not just an ox being led to slaughter, you're a deer who's looking for a great place to have your fill, but you get your foot caught in a snare and the hunter's coming to kill you. But if that's not enough, he offers a third illustration in verse 23. Solomon says to the young man, it's like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing that it will cost you or cost him his life. Verse 23. See, here's the young man. You know, you've got it all wrong. You're like my mom. You're like my dad saying, don't do that. You're trying to rain down on my parade. But Solomon says, no, you're down there focused on what you're doing. But I'm up here focused on where you're headed. And that's what God does. God says, you're down there focused on what you're doing. And I'm up here focused on where you're going. Where are you going today? Where are you headed today? Who's been seducing you? What path are your own? See, you're looking at this as an event. But God says, I see it as a path. You look at it as an event. But I look at it as a path of where you're headed. So point number three is words from Solomon. Words of wisdom from Solomon. Here, verse 24. So what Solomon does, so then Solomon steps out of the story and begins to turn his focus to you and me in verse 24. And here's what he says. So listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Pay attention, it means focus. There's a huge lesson to be learned here in verse 25. Don't let your hearts stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path, for she has been the ruin of many. Many men have been her victims. You see, son, I hate to break it to you, but you are not her first. You know, you ever meet people who go, no, that happened to everybody else, but not me. I know someone, and I certainly won't call their name in case they're watching. But I know someone. You remember back when the emails used to come over in from Nairobi, I think it was, and they would, you know, oh, we've left this money and we want to get it to a good Christian person, and we're trying to get it to you. Please respond so I can know how to do it. Then you respond and they go, well, you know, it's in some issues. If you would just send $100, it would help. And then if you could just send, I know a man who spent literally thousands, his life savings. How do you know that? Because he came to me asking for a loan. And I go, a loan for what? He goes, and he told me what it was for. I went, no, man. I said, it's not real. No. I know all the other ones. I did all my research. I know this is real. No. And then pervasive words. Pastor, if you will loan me the $15,000 that I need, when that $10 million comes, I'll pay this church off. Hey, well, we don't loan money, number one, but... No. Today he's destitute. Today he has no home. Today he is broke, busted, and disgusted. And I tried to tell him the path he was on. But he could. And those people in Nairobi, or wherever they are, living high on the hog on his money. Why? Because he chose a path. I thought you knew. I know that you thought you were number one or one of a kind. But you're just one in a million. No, Pastor, this is my soulmate. I'm so surprised that soulmates only last 3 weeks. I'm so surprised soulmates only last 3 or 4 months. No, the truth is, honey, is the path that you put yourself on is so predictable that you think it's some incredible experience designed just for you. The truth is, you're on a path that many have traveled down, and like every other path, the path is determined because you're on it. Listen, you can't expect to have a good relationship with God, path, but you don't come to church. You can't say, well, I want to have a good, wholesome family that loves God, but yet you don't bring them to the house of God and teach them the statutes of God. Oh, preacher, I can be saved and not be at church. Don't get me started. How's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? You're on the path that so many have traveled down. The destination is so predictable, and I can tell you the outcome with confidence that you will become just another ox to the slaughter. The young man says, oh, you're being judgmental. I've heard that all the time. You're being judgmental. Solomon says, I'm not being judgmental. It's just that you're on the path. And this path has a destination, and you're completely unaware of what or just what you're about to walk into. You either just don't care or you just don't know, but either way, you'll end up like a deer caught in a snare. How many times have I heard people come to me and said, Pastor, you don't have to go to church and be saved, but yet, you know, I'm not going to say they're not going to make it to heaven, but I'm just telling you that their family's a wreck and they don't do anything for Jesus. Nothing. What do they do? Most people don't even know. All they do is sit at home and judge other people. Look at verse 27. Her house is a road to the grave. A road so many have traveled down. Her bedroom is the den of death. You see, the path that you've been lured onto has a different destination than you expected. The road is a road to the grave. You can't expect to be on a road and wind up somewhere different when you're on that road. Now, I've done that before. I thought I was on a certain road that was going to end up somewhere else, but didn't realize where it was. I didn't realize that, I thought I was on the right road, but I'm not. You know, we went riding yesterday with the church group and on our motorcycles, and our fearless leader, old Jim over there, I don't know what him and Carol was talking about as they were sitting at a red light. But I think it was something like this, and I don't know, but you can nod your head yes. I know that restaurant is over here somewhere. Was that it? All right. Uh-huh. See, I got perception. I know that restaurant is over here somewhere. Carol, I think it's over there. No, I just know it's over here somewhere. We found it. But what are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you that the road you're on is a precursor. The road, just look at the end of the road. Well, Pastor, I can't see that far. Then look to somebody who's traveled that road. Talk to somebody who's been on that road before. Because, see, here's the deal, guys, that it's interesting that because even at the very beginning of the story, you pretty much knew the outcome, didn't you? Because we just do when it comes to somebody else. When it comes to somebody else, we know. Yeah. But when it comes to us, you're Stevie Wonder. You can't see. Solomon was looking from the second story window. And those of us who have been down that road before, we have something called perspective. We have perspective. See, listen, tonight, man, you're going to get a perspective on Islam that you've never, unless you've studied it, because we've heard different things, but tonight you're going to hear from somebody who was that for 51 years, could quote the Quran. I mean, you're going to hear that. So he has perspective that you and I don't, because he's been there. If you've ever been to a good counselor, they may interrupt you and say, when you went through that, you probably experienced this. And you're like, wow, you are so smart. No, that person, the counselor has just counseled 800 people who've been through what you've been through. The first time when he heard it, he was like, oh, where's this going? Now he knows. Now he has perspective. And, you know, we get it when it comes to other people's lives. But when it comes to our own lives, we can easily live like the young man, looking at the event without seeing what comes next. That's what most of us do with sin. We look at now, self-gratification. That's why it's so important for this fast, because it's teaching yourself delayed gratification. It's teaching yourself to hone in your spirit instead of your flesh. Am I talking to anybody? But yet it is fairly predictable that crowded highways that you've chosen is just a path. And our paths determine our destination. We've got to address the disconnect that our culture throws at us. And what do you mean by that? That says that as long as my intentions are good, as much as I want to end up in a good place, it doesn't matter what path I take. But it does. Because the path you take will always trump even your best intentions. Amen. Didn't matter what you wanted to do, the path that you take. I want to be financially secure when I grow old. But you spend everything that you earn. It's a path, I can tell you. You're going to live on food stamps. It's not rocket science when you begin to look at it. That's why I say this will change your life. Ask God to help you see the path that you're on. Let me share an example of some disconnects that I hear from time to time and see if you can identify any of them. I hear this. I want to be married to a great, godly, Christian guy. So I'm thinking about going out with anybody who's cute. You see, the path trumps your desired destination. The only way to insecure, you know, I hear this, here's a disconnect. Don't get nervous. Pastor, I want to ensure that I have a great sex in marriage. So in order to have great sex in marriage, I need to have great sex before marriage. It's a disconnect. Pastor, you don't hear these things. Things I hear would make you blush. Well, if you're single, you know that this is a path with a very predictable outcome. You'll not find a reasonable person in their 50s or 60s. And you, that who will tell you that the path to great marital sex is sleeping around before you get married. It's just not, it's not the path. You know, the young people are like, well, y'all want us to save ourselves because y'all just don't want us to have fun. No. Solomon, the same guy who wrote this, said, don't awaken love before it's time. And that's the problem. You got kids trying to open up love and they don't even know what love is. It's lust. And then it goes into, and you know what happens though, kids? They become 35-year-old kids. And not understanding the path that they're on. Their maturity and their time and experience will tell you that if you want to ensure a great sex life in marriage, you find someone who's thoughtful, who's caring, who's unselfish. Wait a minute, Pastor. That doesn't compute to great sex. It's because you ain't just a path. You don't know. I want our family to be a unit, everybody on the same page, looking forward to destination together. So I'm going to work all the time. It's the wrong path, man. Path trumps intention because path determines destination. I want my kids to respect me, so I'm going to fool around on their mom. I want my kids to respect me, but you fool around on your mom and you wonder why they are distant or that they have a bitterness towards you. You chose a path that leads to the loss of respect by your kids and so many others around you. You thought you'd be exempt from this, that you would somehow rise above the principle of the path, but so many people have traveled down this road, church. And this always leads to the same place. It's a highway. It doesn't matter how smart or clever you are. If you take I-75 north to I-10 west, you're never going to hit New York City. You're not going to hit. Well, but Pastor, I was on the right path. Then see where you got off the path. See, that's the good thing. You can't say, well, I just got to go to this road to the end. No, you can get off the path. Make a U-turn. Get off the exit, man. Find a new path. And if God is your God, if you will let Him, He'll make a new path for you. He said, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. That I'll cause rivers to come up in the desert if you will let Him do. But you've got to let Him do it and quit trying to make your own path. I want my children to be brought up with the same Christian values that I had, so we're going to keep missing church. I'm going to tell you, listen, here's what gets me. You didn't raise your kids in church, or you don't raise them in church, you don't bring them to church, but yet you want our youth pastor to fix your kids. Can you do something with them? You should have been doing something with them 20 years ago. You should have been doing something with them when they was 9 months old. Well, but Pastor, what am I going to do? Then start where you are, get in the house of God, and begin to show them, begin to blaze a trail for them to follow you. Being in the house of God, being a man or woman of God, being the person that God's called you to be. Blaze the trail. Blaze the path. Oh, Pastor, I want to lose weight. So supersize that. Would you? I don't want to live in financial pressure, so I'm going to continue to live beyond my means. I want to know God, so I'm not going to read my Bible. I just expect to know God by listening to you, Pastor. I've listened to myself. I'm not that good. I need this. I need this. You need this. Put it in your spirit. If you want to know the paths of God, the ways of God, what God thinks and what He wants, then you've got to get this inside of you. Because this is how He talks to us. It is His will and testament. You get the point? It's all about, here's what I intend to do. here's what I want to do, and yet here's what I'm going to do. There's a disconnect. If you think that your financial path, your marriage path, your moral path, your professional path, you have to ask yourself, are the paths you're on or taking, are they taking you closer or further away from your desired destination? Are the paths you're on taking you closer or further away from your desired destination? I'm supposed to be done, but I got one more point. Can I give it to you? Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm going to hurry. Because one point enough for me to come back next week. I'm going to start something else next week. The reason we're so enamored, point number four, the reason we're so enamored by the wrong path is because something on that path has such an emotional appeal. And it's not rational. It's emotional. So we get so fixated on the immediate that we lose sight of the ultimate. Did you catch that? We get so fixated on the moment or the immediate that we lose sight of the ultimate. For you, it might be the dollar sign. I've got to make this next deal. I got to get this promotion, even though it's costing me and my families emotionally. Lord, Pastor, you know that it's God's will for me to take this job in another city. But did you pray about it? God might have something. Listen, there's a couple. They'll probably be watching in the 11 o'clock service. They have five kids. Here's what he told me the last time I talked to them. It's been 10 or 15 years since I've seen them. But he said, the worst mistake I've ever made was leaving Crystal River, where we had a good church and my kids was being raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now none of my children except the last two at home are serving God. What you do is connected more than just you. The road that you're on, especially, you're leading your family there. You see, there's something so emotionally appealing that it gets its hook into our heart. You have to ask yourself, is this the path I'm really going to take me where I really want to ultimately go in my life? This path, the path has a predetermined destination. They're not just looking at what you've done or where you are, but more importantly, where are you headed? The question you need to ask yourself, and I'm getting ready to close. The question you need to ask yourself is this: is the path that I'm traveling down taking me where I ultimately want to go in life? If this road I'm on leading me toward becoming person both God and I want to be. All right, listen. Let me give you a personal. I have a desire to one day before I die, I want to be able to preach a message in Spanish. That's my desire. Well, what road am I on? Well, someone bought me Rosetta Stone about 6 years ago. And when I get ready to go to Utah, I cram. Or not Utah. When I get ready to go to Uruguay, I cram for Spanish. But every day or every week, I don't spend an hour or two in Rosetta Stone. So I'm still in like the first portion of it. So how can I be upset? I don't know Spanish yet. Duh. You didn't spend enough time studying yet. So if I want to get to the destination, I've got to stay on the path of doing it daily or at least weekly. But here's the truth. When you're in the middle of it, it can be really hard to get off the path without the help of those trusted, wiser people around us. Listen to me. I'm not telling you got to leave all of your friends. But baby, you better check your friends. Because if all of your friends are losers, you become one. You're headed down there. No, I'm their leader. You're their head loser. Because you're such a loser that you only attract other losers. Pastor, that's ugly. It's truth. God, I'm trying to quit, but I'm trying to get this into your spirit. When our church ran about 150, 200 people, all of my friends had smaller churches. And I have to confess, I enjoyed being the big dog. Now you're like, 200 people, that ain't a big dog. I thought it was at the time. I enjoyed being the big dog. All of my friends had smaller churches. But in order to go to the next level, I had to get outside of my comfort zone and begin to seek out relationships that would stretch me. I had to get on a path. That's when I began to reach out to Randy Watson and Annette Watson, and now they're our spiritual parents. I began to reach out to other men and women of God, and Dwight Allen, and eventually a mutual friend of ours, Brian Cutshaw. And they began to stretch me, and when I was on a path and I would ask them, they would give me direction. Well, they wouldn't tell me what to do, but they would give me counsel. Listen, almost 15-something years ago, this service used to be the 8 o'clock service. And we'd have about 35 people. Why? Because nobody wants to come to church at 8 o'clock in the morning, except for Catholics. And they want to go early in the morning so they can get rid of it. I'm not being ugly, I'm just saying. You know, you got a 6 o'clock mass, man, they'll be there. It was Brian Cutshaw who told me to move it to 8:30. I said, only because it's you will I even pray about it. Because I'm kind of a long-winded preacher. And everybody went, amen, brother. So I had to get counsel. Listen, church. Oftentimes, if they're emotionally mature, others will have more insight into where our paths are taking us than we do. The question then is, will we listen? Or will we see ourselves as that one person? I know the good ship Zion couldn't help them, but, you know, I'm the good ship Lollipop. No, you ain't going to help them, baby. It can work for me, but listen, I got to give you this. Because the principle of the path works to the negative, but it also works to the positive. Hallelujah. It also works to the positive. What do you mean, Pastor? Listen, the path of greed has a destination. The path of apathy has a destination. The path of debt has a destination. Everybody knows that's for true. But to God be the glory. What about the path of purity? It has a destination. What about the path of love and mercy and generosity? Maybe some of you here have been on the path of faithfulness for a long time. And you're just beginning to really experience the blessing of being faithful. Because either path doesn't show you their whole hand when you get on the road. Listen, if you get on Highway 19 going south, it doesn't say Crystal River in Perry. It tells you about St. Pete. You have to travel on that road for a little while for it to tell you that Crystal River is coming up. When you get on a path, it don't automatically say, here's where you're going to wind up. Because if it did, you would immediately exit. It makes you travel on that road. And it makes you think that you're so enthroned with it that you can't get off that path. But you can. And the path of purity, the path of faithfulness will do the same thing for you. If you're faithful, it may take a little while. But if you just continue. The Bible said that he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And the Bible said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap if he faint not. Amen. Some of you have been on the path of forgiveness, where you've been hurt and offended and you've chosen not to go down the path of bitterness, but you've entered into the destination of blessing that comes from grace-filled, forgiving people. Perhaps you've walked the path of financial responsibility. You've not only lived within your means, you stayed out of debt, but you've faithfully given of your tithe. And now you're beginning to experience the blessing. That blessing didn't just come as a result of one or two good decisions. It's because you chose to go down a path that has a predetermined destination. So is the path moving you closer or further than your destination? Would you ask God? Would you ask God for insight to see where you are and where you're not? Because here's the deal, guys. Any GPS that you start out, the first thing it finds is you. Where are you? And I'm not going to ask you, we're not asking you to fill out a piece of paper to tell us where you are. You know, I want you to know who we are. I want you to know where you are. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never asked him to come into your life. You need to do that this morning. Or maybe you've asked him to come into your life, but that's the last time you really had a conversation with him. Or maybe you've been saved for so long that you just kind of drifted away and you didn't even know that you're lost. Stand to your feet with me, would you? The path principle. Direction determines destination. Are you willing this morning to make a course correction? Are you willing to step out during these 21 days of fasting and prayer and begin to seek the face of God again? Begin to beat your body back into subjection. Are you willing, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to reset your inner GPS and begin heading down the path that God has for you toward becoming the person that God really designed you to be? Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.